Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. Stan Berman calls himself the world's greatest gatecrasher. Once during an official banquet in the Waldorf Astoria, he disguised himself as a waiter. Walking into the crowded ballroom where Queen Elizabeth was being honored by the governor of New York, he approached the queen and asked her for her royal signature. "Ugh," she replied when an autograph book was placed before her. Well, Stan Berman claims to have crashed more than 3,000 parties, eating free meals, rubbing elbows with statesmen, presidents, movie stars, famous athletes, and notable persons. Well, by now you may have guessed that a gatecrasher is one who attends social functions or similar gatherings uninvited. When John Glenn was being honored in New York City by a ticker tape parade, Berman was seen on the platform shaking hands with the mayor, with Lyndon Johnson, who was then the vice president, and Colonel Glenn, in the full gaze of TV cameras, and before police could remove him. Berman, who's a taxi driver, says his only reason for gate crashing is to prove that a humble cabbie can hobnob with the great. Well, there's one gate that can't be crashed, and that's the gate to heaven. Our Lord, in relating the story of the marriage supper, tells of the man who had come to a wedding feast, but who had come without the wedding garment. And the king says to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And so it is, my friends, unless we've been born again, clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we'll never share in the glories of the other world. All our righteousness is as filthy rags, the Bible says. If we could get to heaven on our own merits, by our own good works, then Jesus would not have had to come to die. But through Christ and through his righteousness and through submission to his will, we can come to know of that eternal life which he came to bestow upon all who will believe. Well, there'll be no gatecrashers in heaven. "He that climbeth up some other way is a thief and a robber," said Jesus. We would be robbing Christ of his royal position of Lord and Savior if we thought we could get to heaven by joining a church or being baptized or doing some good deed. Now understand, I believe a Christian should do these things, but only after he discovers that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And by repenting of his sins, he comes to acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. Now, a very fascinating study is the gates of heaven. In the book of the Revelation, we are told that there are 12 gates to the city of heaven, the city of the New Jerusalem, and that each gate is a single pearl. Well, surely heaven must be wonderful. My curiosity sometimes becomes aroused, and my anxiety awakened as I read of this beautiful place which the Lord is now preparing for those who love him. Well, not only do we read that this heavenly New Jerusalem has 12 gates, but I've been surprised to learn as I read the book of Nehemiah that he mentions 12 gates to the ancient city of Jerusalem. The gates are all given names, so that we've wondered if there's any significance to the names given these gates. For oftentimes, things earthly are types of things heavenly. At least we've been fascinated by a study of the gates, and we'd like to share the results of our study with you briefly today. Nehemiah, as you may remember, felt the call of God to restore the city of Jerusalem and to rebuild the gates which had been destroyed by fire. Nehemiah was not an elderly prophet with a long flowing beard, as we might imagine, but he was a young man, cultured, refined, well-educated, probably clean-shaven. For he was the king's cupbearer during a period of exile, and permission is seen granted by the king to Nehemiah to go back to the city of his forefathers. Now, in spite of opposition, we see Nehemiah restoring the ancient walls and rebuilding the gates. The names of the gates, we believe, are significant. The sheep gate, the fish gate, the valley gate, the old gate, the water gate, the fountain gate, the dung gate, the horse gate, the gate Mifkad, the gate of Ephraim, the prison gate, and the eastern gate. 12 gates altogether, just like the heavenly Jerusalem. But now these gates speak a message. Not that there are 12 different ways to heaven, for there is just one way, and that's through Jesus Christ and His shed blood, offered in atonement on the cross for our sins. But although there is only one way to heaven through Christ, there are various avenues of approach to the heavenly city. Some enter into the city by way of sorrow, others through joy. Some come through pain, others through gladness. Some through shouting, others through weeping. Some come to Christ early in life, others find Him on their deathbed. This seems to be the message of the gates. For instance, the first gate Nehemiah mentions is the gate of the valley. It's wonderful to live up on the mountaintop, but sorrow is often the portion of all of us. How many enter heaven by way of suffering and sorrow? It seems this is one of God's ways to make heaven more wonderful, to enter by way of the valley gate. The psalmist says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Though we may enter heaven by way of the valley experience, it's wonderful to know that once we enter the gate, all sorrow will flee away, and Jesus will be our everlasting portion. Now, actually, the first gate restored by Nehemiah and his brethren was the sheep gate. And this is a very important gate, for we can't enter heaven unless we become a sheep. We come to know the shepherd. Jesus said of His own, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand." Now, there was no gate in the ancient city for goats or dogs or wolves. To get to heaven, you must come by way of the sheep gate. You must be one of Christ's sheep. Another gate mentioned is the water gate. We must partake of the water of life if we would enter the heavenly city. Now, water is a combination of hydrogen and oxygen. Similarly, if we would be saved, we must receive the waters of salvation, composed of two very important component parts, repentance and faith. Now, to just believe is not enough, for except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, said Jesus. And to simply repent is not sufficient, for we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ if we are to be saved. Now, another gate to the city of Jerusalem was the gate of the fountain. The very name of this gate sounds inspiring. Now, it's wonderful to take a drink of water and to be satisfied in salvation. But our Lord spoke of getting the fountain, of having a well of water within. Some will no doubt get to heaven by simply coming to Christ, knowing Him as Savior, coming in simple faith. But they will have missed the opportunity of coming to know the fullness of the Spirit in their lives. Oh, how wonderful to enter heaven by way of this gate of the fountain, to come to know the fullness of the Spirit. Then there is the horse gate. Someone might ask, "You mean you think there are horses in heaven?" Well, according to the book of Revelation, our Lord is seen coming from heaven on a white horse, and the saints following on white horses. But to us, the horse gate symbolizes humility and surrender. If you would enter heaven, you must give up your pride, your obstinacy. The horse can be a stubborn creature. The psalmist says, "Be ye not as the horse or as the mule." We must leave our pride at Calvary, our stubbornness nailed to His cross. There's also the fish gate. Now, I can see Peter and Andrew and John, these fishermen, as Jesus calls them, saying, "Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." These disciples dedicating their lives to service for the Lord Jesus and the needs of humanity are seen leaving their nets to follow Christ. Now, won't it be wonderful to see how many fish these men have caught as triumphantly they are seen entering heaven with their catch of precious souls? Well, could it be that preachers, missionaries, and evangelists and personal workers are seen entering heaven by way of the fish gate with their trophies of grace, their catch of saved men and women, boys and girls? Then there's the old gate. You hear much about the new evangelism or the modern message. But I'm convinced if we get to heaven at all, we're going to have to come by way of the old gate. We must be born again and enter the kingdom by way of the old-time faith. This gate Mifkad is an interesting gate. The word Mifkad means place of meeting. The ancient gates were the important part of the city. Here is where the people would meet. And the church is where we think of meeting one another for fellowship, but most of all meeting Christ. Now, I happen to be saved at home, but there are many who are saved at a place of meeting, a tent campaign, a citywide crusade, a church. These folk might be pictured as entering heaven through this gate. The gate of Ephraim is another gate that might puzzle us for a moment, but Ephraim means doubly fruitful or twice blessed. Now, I'm supposing that John Wesley knew something about this gate. Of course, there are those who doubt there is an experience some call the second blessing, but you can't read the lives of these saints to know that in a time of crisis and spiritual defeat, they sought the Lord. They experienced something they never had before, and which was the difference of day and night in their experience. The dung gate speaks of those who, with the Apostle Paul, brush aside fame and fortune, counting all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Though circumcised, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, a religious Pharisee and righteous as concerns of the law, the Apostle Paul said this was all as dung, that he may win Christ. Then how many today are in prison, confined to an institution, or chained to their own passions, bound by lust for alcohol, tobacco, or dope? Many who've been set free, no doubt, will be seen entering the city of heaven by way of the prison gate. For Christ came to loose the prisoner, to set men free. Well, finally, of the 12 gates of the earthly Jerusalem, one is called the Eastern Gate. And I like to think that here is where the saints will meet when Jesus comes. The scriptures picture Jesus as coming from the east. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. One songwriter has written, "I will meet you in the morning, just inside the eastern gate." Well, today we've spoken about the 12 gates to the city of ancient Jerusalem, comparing these as types as to how many will enter heaven. Although there are various avenues of approach to the celestial city, remember Christ is the only way whereby we must be saved. Be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Will ye be ready to go when the morning sun comes riding down, his eyes are blazed with many crowns? Will ye be ready to go?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.